Good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name. Stand before you in the fear of God this morning. Sometimes in the fear of men as well. I trust God has something for us today. Thank you, Alan, for those devotional thoughts. It was a good introduction to what to share about. Sometimes I have a hard time knowing what to preach about, and so I was happy when Mr. Mike texted me and said that him and his students had a suggestion for me and gave me an assignment. I guess it was an assignment. I took it that way. And they wanted to hear about the subject of anger and the dangers of it. And so I thought I would do that this morning. The title of the message is Anger Equals Danger. I'll just write that up on the board. Anger equals danger. Anger is one letter short of danger. That's so true. It doesn't take long, it doesn't take much for anger to turn into danger for us humans. I'm sure each one of us has felt anger within us. It's part of human emotion. We probably have all seen the effects of anger within somebody else. Anger is an emotion. Anger means hot displeasure. The feeling people get when something unfair, painful, or bad happens to them. And I was just, I experienced the emotion of anger just last night through the night. We've been having difficulties with our smoke alarms in our house ever since we moved in, and they go off at random times, and so we blew them out. I think there was dust in them from construction, and we blew them out, and the problem is taken care of, it seemed. But now, one by one, they've slowly been starting to beep with a dead battery alarm. Beep, 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 every minute. One of them does it, and then the other one, then another one does it. And just last night, another one did it. And I've been taking them out, putting them out in the shed, and it's a nightly ritual, it seems. And that feeling rises up within me. These crazy smoke alarms. I feel like leaving a bad review. I feel like calling the company up, and maybe you students should, maybe that's your assignment. What should I do? Anyway, it's a feeling that comes to us. I think it's a normal feeling for us to be stirred up with anger. I think the danger in anger comes in two ways. One is when the outworking of those feelings of anger that rise within us come out in a fury of our actions. We lash out with our tongue. We maybe strike back. We throw things around, maybe. We get frustrated and things start flying. Maybe we make threats. It's sad to say, there's even killing that takes place because of anger. It's a danger. It happens. And anger comes out in many uncontrolled ways, and it causes much harm and much danger. The second way that anger is a danger, I believe it happens because we allow the anger to settle within our heart. Maybe it doesn't come out. Maybe we don't lash out with our tongue. We keep our cool. But is it enough just to keep our cool? Is it enough not to strike back? Is it enough not to throw things around when we have that feeling, but we allow it to settle in our heart? I have my actions in control. That's good. But what about my heart? Am I allowing that anger to settle within me, to build up, to fester, to eat at me? Holding grudges is anger in the heart. Bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness is anger that's settled in the heart. And I believe it's just as much a danger as it coming pouring forth out in our action. It's a quote that says, "Anger is an acid that can do more harm to the vessel in which it is stored than to anything on which it is poured." Anger is an acid that can do more harm to the vessel in which it is stored than to anything on which it is poured. And that's so true. Anger left go in our heart will destroy us. Anger is an emotion, like I said before. Just like other emotions, but it's maybe more powerful than some of our emotions. We have feelings of sadness, happiness, fear, disgust, surprise. And if we are sad, maybe we feel like crying. If we're happy, maybe we feel like smiling or laughing. But what do we do when we are angry? I heard someone say already that emotion is like the E in emotion stands for energy. Energy in motion. I like that. There's energy there. It's flowing around. If you're happy, there's energy flowing around, and it comes out in laughter or smiling. There's energy there. Anger, when that feeling of anger rises up, there's energy in there, and it's in motion. We don't really choose that the energy is there. God made us that way. But what are we going to do with that energy, with that emotion of anger? Are we going to let that energy out in action? Are we going to let that energy settle in our heart? Danger if we do that. I believe that if we have Christ filling our hearts, the Holy Spirit guiding our lives, and we are listening to his voice, we are wanting to be taught by Jesus' example, and I believe that God will help us let the energy of anger flow right back out where it came from, and release it, let it go. Let the love of God in your heart, the fruit of the Spirit, the Beatitudes, the things that Jesus taught us how to live, let that overpower the energy of anger that comes. You will still get triggered sometimes. You will still have that flash of hot displeasure rising up within you. But keep your heart full of Christ and let him help you overcome this emotion. What does the Bible have to say about anger? There's a lot here. I'd like to turn to Ephesians 4. I have 4 points on what the Bible says about anger. Ephesians 4, verse 26. "Be ye angry, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." The Bible says, "Be ye angry, and sin not." Ah, yes. great, a verse that gives me permission to be angry at how we feel. I got angry because the Bible says I can. Righteous indignation, we call it sometimes. Well, before you run off with that, I think we need to go further. Read, what does the next part of that say? And sin not. Can I be angry and not sin? We need to look at our motive. Why did that make me angry? Last night, why did those smoke alarms make me angry? Well, it's because it got me out of bed. I was stumbling around in the dark, trying to find it, which one it was, and get a stepladder out and unplug it in the dark. It was a personal inconvenience. It made me feel angry. Was it a personal offense? Is that why it made you angry? Was it, did it hurt me? Was it unfair to me? Or was the cause of Christ at stake? Was the kingdom of God defiled? Why am I angry? Most often, personal offense and pride are the reason why I get angry. Verse 22 of this chapter. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And then down to verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We need to put on the new man. We need to have a renewed mind. Take on the character of God's righteousness and holiness. And how does Christ want us to live? Put away anger and all the effects of it. And be kind instead. Be tenderhearted. Forgiving. And remember what Christ has done for you, for me. Even if the cause of Christ is at stake, and that makes you angry, I believe we still need to be under the control of the Holy Spirit in our actions and in our words. There is a time, there's a place to stand up and be angry for the cause of Christ. But that should not be a reason or an excuse for my blow up or my flying off the handle. I think mostly we need to let it with God. We need to remember that he said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. There's a story of a preacher in New York many years ago. Someone from his congregation met him hurriedly urging along his way down the street. His lip was set, and there was something strange in his gray eye. How are you today, Pastor? He said, pleasantly. The pastor waked as from a dream and replied soberly, I am mad. It was a new word for a mild, true-hearted Christian, but he waited. And with a deep, earnest voice, the pastor went on. I found a widow standing by her goods thrown in the street. She could not pay the month's rent. The landlord turned her out. And one of her children is going to die. And that man is a member of the church. I told her to take her things back again. I am on my way to see him. Righteous indignation in the right use, I believe. Be angry and sin not. It's anybody, there's a quote that I found, anybody can become angry. That is easy. But to be angry with the right person, to the right degree, at the right time, for the right purpose, and in the right way, that is not easy. think about the life of Jesus. Think about his example. Think about his trial. That was not fair. Pilate found no fault in him. And yet he was crucified. He died. Did he get angry? 1 Peter 2:21 says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." It says that we should follow in his steps, and let's do that as we face the feeling of anger rising up in us. What did Jesus do? How would he want us to live? Point number two, the Bible says, "Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." It's in verse 26 there in Ephesians. "Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." What happens when you let food out overnight? Well, it begins to spoil. Bacteria begins to grow. One day old food outside the refrigerator can cause food poisoning. It may start to get mushy, slimy, brown. 1 week old food left out can start to ferment and start to rot. Gross. And start to reek badly. Maggots will begin feeding. I don't know if you have ever gone to help at a flood cleanup and you found freezers full of rotten food. It's horrible. Completely nasty. And the children of Israel found that out when they kept manna overnight. They kept too much for the next day. And it got wormy and stank. So is our anger. Left overnight, it will begin to deteriorate, start to grow harmful bacteria like sin, and will poison us. What will one day old anger be like? 1 week? 1 month? 1 year? Year after year? There are people that hold on to anger for years. Grudges, hurts. They hold them in their heart. And what does that sin look like in there? It must be awful to hold on to that reeking garbage in your heart. It's like reeking rotten food. And no wonder their faces are disfigured. We need to take care of the anger before it gets even a day old, the Bible says. Take care of any grievances right away. Make your wrongs right before you go to bed. If there's something on your mind that you know you should clear up, do it before the sun sets, before the day is over. Here are a couple reasons why. Because 12 hours is long enough to be cross about any wrong inflicted upon us. Nothing is so exhausting to physical health or mental faculty as a prolonged dose of anger. It racks the nervous system. It hurts the digestion. It heats the blood in the brain and heart until the whole body is first overheated and then depressed. It sours the disposition. It turns one aside from his legitimate work. It expends energies that ought to be used for better things, and it does us more harm than it does our antagonist. Another reason, because we will sleep better at night if we are at peace with everybody. And because we might not live to see another day. You may have to give account to God tonight or tomorrow. Make make peace. Let not the sun go down upon the wrath, or you will give place to the devil. Point number three, the Bible says, neither give place to the devil. Verse 27. There is danger in anger when we give place to the devil. Anger, left go, gives the devil a foothold in our lives. He lit that fire and he kindled it. And if we let it go, Satan will get his bellows out and blow on it, fan the flame and feed it until he gets the inferno of the blaze that he wants. If we give in to anger, let it control us, the devil is in control of us. And we are in danger because our shield, our armor of God will be taken from us, taken away. And that will expose us to more danger. It's an endless loop, a cycle that only the power of God can break. Let's not give the devil an inch of room in our lives by harboring thoughts and feelings of unresolved anger in our hearts. Matthew 11:28-30 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Anger in our heart is a heavy burden that we need God to give us freedom from. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Point number four, the Bible says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath." Turn to Proverbs 15. Many verses we could have looked at. The Bible talks a lot about anger. Proverbs 15, verse 1. "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." A soft answer turneth away wrath. And you probably experienced that, where someone was upset at you or something, someone else, and someone just gave a soft answer. It wasn't the words they said, maybe, but just a calm, quiet answer that shut the fire down. And it's very hard to reason with an angry man. It's almost impossible that you can have a reasonable discussion with him and get anywhere. But a soft answer, a kind deed, returning good for evil, or maybe even taking the blame for what they're accusing of you. "I'm sorry, yes, I'll take the blame." It will pretty much always put the fire out. Have you ever tried to argue in a whisper? Try to do that sometime, whisper and argue. A loud, heated response only fuels the argument. But a soft, gentle answer puts the fire out. God wants us to live in meekness, to be gentle, to live in peaceful relationships. And I think the Beatitudes are a good way to follow. And I'd like to read that, Matthew 5. When you have feelings of anger stirring up within you, think of the Beatitudes. Matthew 5, verse 3. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Blessed are the meek, blessed are the peacemakers. That's how God wants us to live. Meekness is not weakness. It's God's, it's strength under God's control. Let's remember that meekness is not weakness, it's strength under God's control. In closing, I'd like to read James 1. James 1, verses 19 to 21. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. I want to encourage you to, in dealing with the emotion of anger, to receive with meekness the word of God. Implant it into your heart. Receiving with meekness is the opposite of resisting. It's saying yes with humility to what God says. Maybe you think you can't help it. That's just the way I am. Maybe your dad was that way. There was a young man that said that. That's how I am. My dad was that way. My grandpa was that way. I can't help it. There's no hope for me. And that was how it ended up. A sad case. A choice that he made to... It kind of sealed his fate. That he think he couldn't help it. Continued that cycle. But it doesn't have to be that way. You can overcome anger in your generation today, in 2026. Receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. May God bless you as you face the dangers of anger with the power of God. There is victory through Christ. Let's kneel for prayer.